So we're continuing again the study on Hebrews, going through Hebrews. And today I titled the sermon Forgiveness and Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a big part of Hebrews as kind of a theme thing. Faithfulness, persevering, endurance, that kind of thing as we look at Hebrews and particularly today. Well, I'll probably focus more on the forgiveness aspect, just to give you a heads up. But before we get into the actual scripture, many of you probably have seen this clip that we're going to watch, and it's from a recent trial, the trial of Amber Geiger. And she was the off-duty police officer who entered Botham Jean's apartment, and she claims that she mistook his apartment for her apartment and thought that Botham was a burglar in her apartment, and she shot and killed him. During the sentencing of that trial, Brant Jean, which is Botham's, I believe it's his younger brother, gave a statement, and it was so powerful, and I think many of you probably have seen this, but we're going to actually watch it. It plays.
If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Wow. What's wrong with you guys? You're crying. That's all right. Powerful. It's forgiveness. Today, as we look at chapter 10 of Hebrews, we're going to see that God's forgiveness paves the way or opens the door to a faithful relationship with God and with each other. I invite you to open up to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm not going to read through the whole chapter. I'm just going to take one section. And I hope that as we've been going through Hebrews, that you can, that you've been reading, either reading ahead or maybe after a sermon you've been reading through them. I'd encourage you to continue to do that. And it's important for us to remember in this letter that it was written to Christians, early Christians who were who came out of a Jewish culture, you could say. And they were kind of Jewish Christians, you could say. And so they were grappling with how to fulfill God's will as it relates to the old system, the old covenant, So they're contrasting the old covenant system with what came with the new. And the new covenant, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and this everything centered on Jesus and what he had done and all of that. And so they're trying to learn how to operate within that. So let's go. We're going to first start in verse 11. I'm just going to explain this as we kind of go through each verse as we kind of go along. So it says here, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Remember, this is the religious ritualistic system, the old covenant, the old law that the Israelites had even when Jesus was around, but it was well established in their culture. And so what they would do is they would sacrifice animals. They would offer these offerings to God as a way to cover their sin and to take away their guilty conscience, you could say. And so they stood daily at their services. They continued to do the same sacrifices over and over, year after year, day after day, month after month. They just continue to have to do all of these sacrifices, all of these offerings. And they did that because of sin. And yet it would never take away. It was never substantive. It would never actually take away the sins. And so that's contrasted with the next verse. Verse 12 says, But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So when Christ had offered his offering, which was himself on the cross, dying for the world's sin, and then he rose from the grave 3 days later after he died. And then he ascended into heaven. And it says he sat down at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of God. In other words, that one single sacrifice was enough. He didn't have to keep offering sacrifices over and over and over like the old priests were doing at the temple, offering the sacrifices daily and yearly and all of that. Okay, so the work is done. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 13, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. So he's waiting. He's simply waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool for his feet, which it says. I'm not going to go too much into that. Verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, those who believe in him, who put their trust in him, who submit to Jesus as king, are people who are being sanctified. And that word sanctified is this idea of being perfected. But what's cool is Jesus did everything and he has already perfected us positionally in some way, and yet we're also being perfected. So it's kind of this, it's a deep theological thought, you could say. All right, let's keep going. Verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, now here's the covenant, right? Here's part of the covenant that I talked about 2 weeks ago, I think, from Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. So that's the first part. But here's the main focus of this part, verse 17 and 18. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So that is the, I would say, the key part here having to do with forgiveness. So, the sin issue. Darren talked about the sin issue last week, right? The sin issue. If you look before the passage we just read, there's an allusion to the shadow of the old system, and that the old system actually, like, it can't take away the sin, and it actually reminded the Israelites and the Jews of their sin. And so the scripture here is talking about the way in which sin was actually taken away. But the old system was kind of like this constant reminder of their failure to be able to live up to the law. And I was trying to think of how to illustrate this, and it reminds me of my finger. When I was in my early 20s, I milked a fair amount of cows most days, and I had this sin issue, though. And you might call it anger or fits of rage, maybe. I remember one specific time when I got so mad at a cow, and, you know, that happens. The cows have a way of bringing out the worst in you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure of it. But I got so mad at a cow that I actually went to punch it as hard as I could. And first of all, don't punch a cow. If you do punch a cow, like, they're like usually like, did you just touch me? And they just look back at you like, what? Anyways, I went to punch this cow, and I mean, I was so mad, and I went, and I think I struck twice, maybe even three times. I don't remember. I was in a rage, you know? You don't remember these things. But I remember the consequences because here I had missed the cow completely, and I was hitting a metal bar, a solid metal bar. And, you know I was in a rage because I had my eyes closed, and apparently it didn't register in my mind that I was that upset. Okay, so I have my failures, I have my faults. Why do I say it reminds me of my finger? My finger, to this day, doesn't quite straighten out like it used to. Of course, I'm a man, I'm not going to go to the doctor or anything. And yeah, I mean, it's not too bad, but it does remind me. When I look at it, and it's just funny, it's just one of those things that I see it and I'm like, I remember. I remember my failure, you know? I remember how much anger I had and how my shortcomings in that way. And it's the same way with the old sacrificial law for the Israelites. It's like it didn't actually get rid of their sin, but it just continually reminded them of their failure. They would go year after year going to offer these sacrifices, and it would just continue to remind them of their failure, just like my finger reminds me. I have issues sometimes. I have been able to process a lot of those anger things, okay? But you got to stay on guard, right? You got always that you never know when that kind of thing is going to come up. So, anyways, God, we know as Christians that God has truly taken away our sin, not just covered it over or that kind of thing. He actually has substantially taken away sin. And how? How did he do it? Well, Jesus came and he fulfilled exactly what God wanted done. It wasn't just ritualistic kind of offering and, certain way to do all these religious things. It was he did the will of God and he became the ultimate sacrifice for our sin by dying on the cross, by dying on the cross for our sin. There is no greater forgiveness than that. I think sometimes we don't always think about this, and I don't mean to be too harsh on this, but oftentimes I hear the sentiment that, well, I know God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. I'm here to tell you, the forgiveness of God is so much greater than us forgiving ourselves. What did we sing this morning? There's no one higher, no one greater than our God. Sometimes we place ourselves in the place of God. Forgiving yourself pales pales in comparison to the forgiveness of God. We need to hang on to that truth. God is greater. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, beyond the forgiveness of God. There is nothing. Rest in the joy of knowing that you're forgiven by God. Just rest in that. Have you ever experienced forgiveness? Now, I know most of us here would say we follow Jesus and we've experienced the forgiveness of God. Yes, I understand that. But I mean forgiveness like on the horizontal level, like with another person, maybe a friend or a family member. Have you ever experienced forgiveness? I bet there's some here that haven't. I actually think that's possible. But what happens, if you can look back and on a time maybe when you have experienced that, what happens in you? What stirs in you when you own up to a wrongdoing and you ask for that forgiveness and somebody forgives you? What does that do? I mean, a lot of times we say right away, freedom. But I'm just saying, what does the emotions do in you? What does it do to you? I think, as a scripture, we're going to see, it gives us confidence, but it gives us confidence in a relational way. Like think about what happened in that clip we watched, right? With Brant and Amber. What happened? What happened when Brant spoke forgiveness to Amber? He ended up hugging her. I mean, they were like, psh. It reconciles. It brings people close to each other. It draws people into relationship with one another. It draws us close to God when we understand our forgiveness with God. And it brings us close to each other. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, therefore, because you're forgiven by God, because you have this forgiveness that was just stated, where there is forgiveness of sin, there is no longer any offering for sin. We have this boldness, we have this confidence in Christ to enter into the holy places, the holy places. The places where God dwells, the place where God is, God's presence, by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice for us, his laying down his life on the cross, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And this is allusions to the temple. There was a curtain that blocked God's presence from everyone else. And when Jesus died, we know that the curtain tore and that his presence now is with us. It's available. And that happened through Jesus dying in the flesh. Verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus is our priest, he's our high priest, he's our representative, our mediator, he's our lawyer, like I keep saying that. He's the one over the house of God. And then here's the thing. Verse 22, there's three let us's, okay? We'll see this. Let us draw near. Draw near. Draw near to God. Draw near to each other. It brings relationship. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God's presence and to each other's presence. Verse 23, let us hold fast to our confession, or to the confession of our hope. Sorry, I butchered that. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The one we have hope in, it's not just the principle, it's not like we just hope in the promise. We hope in Jesus, who established the promise, who is faithful to what he promised, okay? It's a relationship. It's not just a principle. It's not just a relationship with a with a saying or something. It's Jesus. It's the person. Verse 24, and let us consider, so the third let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We're to stir one another up to love, to good works. These are the results of our forgiveness, okay? We don't do the good works. We don't love because to get love. We don't love to get love. We don't do good works to win God's approval. No, these are a result of your standing with God because he has forgiven you and he loves you already. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is just speaking like, get together, people. Get together, encourage one another. I hope that this time can be an encouraging time. But get together and encourage one another. Meet together. And do it more and more as you see the day, the judgment coming, when Jesus will return. There's an urgency here. Why? Because we want to be faithful. We want to be found faithful, not drawing away from God, but drawing close to God. It's an encouragement to stay faithful, to persevere, to endure through the hardships. So our forgiveness of sin and Jesus Christ as our high priest, it leads us in confidence to be near to God, to hang on to God's promises, to hang on to Jesus because he has promised us, and to encourage each other. And I think, again, these are the key things to enduring, to persevering and remaining faithful. Our primary concern is not religious ritualism, but it's actually doing what God desires and what he wants. Again, this is Jesus fulfilled this in his coming when he walked the earth. But being faithful, it means that you're committed to building trust for the sake of relationship. Relationship. Relationship is like the goal, okay? The goal of forgiveness and faithfulness is not to make you do everything perfect so that you can be superior to people who aren't perfect, okay? So I think sometimes we get that idea in us, like, well, I'm a Christian, so I've got to be perfect, and I get to look down on people who aren't. No, that's not right, okay? The goal of forgiveness and faithfulness is not that. It is relationship. It is drawing close to one another and drawing close to God. God, it's like God is saying, the relationship that I have with you is more important than your mistakes, your imperfections, your sin. I hope you get to read the rest of this chapter, because in the next section, it talks about those who reject God's forgiveness. They're adversarial to God. It's like, it describes it, I was going to read it, but it describes it as if you're stepping on Jesus. And it talks about, you talk about rage, enraging the spirit of grace when we become adversarial to God and his forgiveness. Watch out. There's judgment. Hear me. If you do not accept the forgiveness of God, if you do not accept the forgiveness of God, there is judgment, and it will destroy you. It reminds me, some of you will know what I'm talking about. Most of you might not. So I'm just going to talk about this just a little bit. But in the musical, Les Mis, all right, I've used that musical as examples before. Javert is like a law guy, all right? And he literally cannot live with himself when he is shown grace and mercy and forgiveness. And it ends up literally destroying him. When somebody comes to you with a wrongdoing and you don't forgive, just watch out. Just be careful. The trust and faithfulness that we have in God is based on his love for us through the forgiveness of sin. And faithfulness, we have faithfulness, I believe, written out here. Faithfulness is really what? It's fruit. It's a product. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But it's the fruit of God's forgiveness lived out in us. I know when I forget God's forgiveness, and I start focusing on other things, that it can very easily, I can start to pull away into unfaithfulness. I have another story. I don't know if you recognize these people. This is Mary Johnson and O'Shea Israel. And they have quite the story, but we're going to watch a short clip again. And this is an older deal. It's not as recent as the Brant Jean and Amber Geiger thing, but it explains a sinful act, murder. Just tell you that right away. Explains a forgiving act, and faithfulness in a supernatural, really, it's supernatural relationship that they have. So, play this.
Got involved in a game, didn't have to.
There was gunshots, and Loramian was laying on the floor. And a young man was standing over Loramian, pointing the gun at his head. He yelled, "Don't do it," and the trigger was pulled.
I'm the person that murdered her son.
I hated this boy. He was an animal, and he deserved to be caged.
They sentenced me to 25 and a half years.
And I told him, "Look, I don't know you. You don't know me. We just need to get to know one another."
You can tell a moment. I was just like, "You know, may I come around the table and hug you?"
And he had to hold me up.
She just crumbled.
And I began to say, "I just hugged the man that murdered my son. I just hugged the man that murdered my son."
I think maybe that is what really started to establish our bond.
I knew that it was over. That I had truly, truly forgiven him.
She's my mother now. She's my second mother.
I treat him like my son. I talk to him like a son.
Actually, she and I are neighbors now.
Father, we just thank you.
To be able to look in my face every day, it takes a great strength. To be forgiven is teaching me something.
Have you accepted the forgiveness of God and allowed his forgiveness to change you, to bring you into relationship with him? And we know that forgiveness doesn't always work out like we want it to, particularly when the person in need of forgiveness doesn't accept it. God has already done everything needed for our forgiveness. He sent Jesus to teach us his ways. Jesus died on the cross for our imperfections, our sin. Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, giving us abundant, free, eternal life. Jesus is currently sitting at the Father's side. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. We must, and this is like not... We must accept that he has forgiven us. Allow it to change you. God wants a close relationship where you can draw near to him. Just like Brant Jean and Mary Johnson. These two pictures, right? I mean, to me, it's pretty evident that Brant and that Mary experienced God's forgiveness in some manner or form. and that they were able to extend that forgiveness to somebody who deeply offended them. And I don't know what's going to happen in these stories, right? There is always risk in relationship. Always. Will you draw near to God and to each other? I'm going to ask a couple questions yet. These are important. Who do you need to go to and ask forgiveness from? Family member? A church family member? Who do you need to forgive? Relationships can be very complicated, very messy, but forgiveness opens the door and paves the way for a faithful relationship. Anyone who's married in here, I think you know what I'm talking about. Will you walk through the open door of God's forgiveness? Draw close to God. Draw close to each other.